Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
They still serve beers, which is good, but it's hard to like drink your... There's like an eating and drinking section. You can walk with your beer, but you got to like do the half like mask down. I don't know. And I usually go with just me and my son to kind of get him out of my wife's hair because she's working from home right now. So if you're just walking around on a Wednesday with your six-year-old... You know, guzzling beers, people may frown upon that. Maybe not be the look I'm going for.
Last time I went to the zoo, I went up to a booth and I said, I'll have a beer, please.
Yeah.
Oh, we're out.
Really?
I said, well, can I have like, I looked at the menu, I don't know, a hot dog?
Yeah.
And they said, we ran out of those.
So why were they open?
Can I have chips?
Yeah.
We're waiting on those.
It's funny that you say that. Like, I love Popeye's chicken, and every time I go to Popeye's now, they don't have any food. And two days ago, I said, not to be rude, but why do you guys stay open?
What'd they say?
She just, like, didn't answer me. I said, because I wanted chicken yesterday. I said to my wife, I said, we should almost call and just be like, do you guys have food? They always run out of chicken, though, or they hate me. Like, I wanted those chicken sandwiches.
You are a mess, dude.
I wanted those chicken sandwiches for, like, 3 months. I still haven't had the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah, me neither.
But all I wanted was a 4-piece and some mashed potatoes, and they're like, oh, we ran out of chicken. This is like noon. I'm like, what are you doing open?
You are a disaster.
A little bit.
And you're normally a disaster, so for me to say that to you this morning, you must really be a disaster.
Well, again, man, you know, I like to start my day the same way, little mile run in the morning.
Oh, sure.
That's a lie. But with a little Amy Lawrence, and I didn't have it this morning.
Yeah.
I need my coffee and my Amy Lawrence. One of those was taken away from me.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. All right, sports and stuff.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. At Ryan Horvath, send your takes. I'm at Winks Thinks. We'll talk more about this Brewers 12-2 loss, which was actually even more embarrassing than it sounds. And Kyle Brandt will join us here in about 15 minutes. Good morning, football. He don't turn on NFL Network. He's off today.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about this real quick. So he joined us at 9:30. So he's off this week. I didn't ask him on the phone.
No, he's actually on. I'm just trying to because I.
You're gonna be playing the interview.
Yeah,
and you
I'm
think people
to,
don't understand?
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Somebody's gonna tweet at me here in about 5 minutes, ripping me for it. So
if you miss Kyle Brandt,
was he off yesterday?
No, he interviewed Joe Montana yesterday.
Oh,
I didn't know until later.
I thought he said he interviewed Joe Montana, the actor. I was a little bit more excited for that. Okay, I listened to the podcast with Rogers, by the way.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Rogers' name is going to be popping up all over social media today, by the way.
Because of stuff he said?
No, well, probably not so much what he said, but Olivia Munn also did a podcast yesterday. You didn't hear this?
No.
She talked about a really bad relationship she had with somebody that she dated for a couple years. A very dark relationship, and she doesn't think that the man that she was with liked her very much, because she doesn't. I don't really want to get a whole lot into the gossip section. I just didn't know. Olivia Munn just put her name into the search engine today. She ripped one of her ex-boyfriends, and a lot of people are putting two and two together, thinking it was probably Aaron Rodgers, and you know, he was just maybe using her for the publicity. Didn't really like her a whole lot. Turned the lights off when they would, you know, or something. She said that he was awful in bed is pretty much what I'm getting at.
So I've never related to Rogers more.
Yeah, so like, but Barstool got their hands on it. So now the stoolies are all over Rogers.
Oh.
Because he wasn't good in bed. Doesn't like to do some things that some ladies like, some don't.
Again, I've never related to him more.
So, weird day. Weird, wacky, what is it? Wednesday?
Thursday.
Thursday. Thank you, sir.
Brewers.
Not necessarily, I guess. It felt like there was a lot more just kind of bad baseball. Happening there. I felt like I was making some competitive pitches, wasn't getting a whole lot of calls, and I just wasn't attacking as much as I should have been. I think it was a combination of not being aggressive enough in the zone, trying to be too fine with pitches when I didn't need to be.
Eric Lauer, Brewers pitcher, for now, was asked if the inning he had last night, a 5-run second inning, felt like an inning he had a couple of days ago against the Reds, the 6-run inning. Eric Lauer's pitched 3 times for the Brewers this season, once in relief, which was his best appearance. He had 6 strikeouts, 2 2/3 against the Cubs. The Brewers had lost that game pretty badly, but he came in there and did some mop-up duty. Then he got a start against the Reds, gave up 6 earned runs in 3 innings. Last night, 7 earned runs in 3 2/3. So his ERA sits at 12.54, the whip over 2 as well.
Watch me whip.
Which is not good. Now, last night, all right, Lauer gave up some hits.
Yeah, he did.
Last night, maybe not as bad as the Reds' performance, just because of how much the sun was affecting some of those guys, especially Christian Yelich. I mean, he could not see the ball last night in left field. And there was one play where Eric Sogard eventually caught it, and Sogard looked at Yelich, and they looked at each other like, ah, that was funny, man.
Like,
it could have been,
bro.
Could have been bad.
Yeah.
But then there was one play where Yelich completely missed it because he just didn't see it. And then the Twins scored on that play, and then Yelich was still like, oh, man, that's crazy. I was waiting, and I still am, for someone to be, oh, geez, I don't like that Yelich is smiling after wins or runs. We gotta focus up here. Eric Lauer's no good. I hate to say it. I want him to be. They can't start him again. They've got to skip his turn in the rotation. We talked about what we think the rotation could be. You've got Woodruff, Burns, Hauser. Give Peralta a chance, and then Lindblom's fine.
Yeah.
Brett Anderson's not doing much for you. Eric Lauer's certainly not doing much for you. You have to make these decisions quickly because you are more than at a 7-9 clip. That's 16 games. It's a 60-game season. We are more a quarter of the way through the baseball season, believe it or not.
And you play the Cubs.
And you play the Cubs this weekend.
So if you get swept, season's over.
Essentially, yes.
Yes.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Craig Counsell on Eric Lauer's performance last night.
You know, Eric's just hadn't thrown the ball well. I mean, he threw the ball as well as, you know, someone can throw it. The first outing in Chicago and the 2 starts, you know, he's just been a little bit off. Tonight it was, you know, I mean, I think tonight it was just a little too, trying to be too fine a little bit everywhere. You know, I mean, there was kind of an even number of balls and strikes. And I think, you know, Eric's, you know, I think capable of being a guy that's just on the attack and kind of attacks inside the strike zone and almost, you know, bullies hitters a little bit with just that, with a good, tough, rising kind of cutting fastball and just a lot of deep counts and working the edges. And then he just missed some of the edges and just got himself in some bad spots.
Lauer, of course, and Urias, who was 2 for 2 last night after he eventually came in for Yelich, and they swapped a bunch of guys around. Brock Holt went and played left. Orlando Arcia went and played center for the last couple innings in this game.
Okay, I thought that was the drugs. So you had him in center, and then, okay, so I did see Jed Jerko on the mound, too.
Jed Jerko was on the mound. He pitched a scoreless inning. He did allow a hit.
Yeah, he gave up a hit, yeah.
Went 1-2-3 after that.
I think he threw 11 pitches and 6 of them were strikes. Honestly, I think I like him more than I like Eric Lauer.
I think so, too.
I'm serious, too.
Well, I just look at that trade with the Padres, and maybe it's too quick to judge it, but I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now.
I think it is too quick. I think that trade sucked.
Well, Zach Davies, I mean, Zach, if you want 3 2/3 and 7 earned runs, you can get that from Zach Davies.
He pitched against the Dodgers last night. I actually went to bed before 1 a.m. I was like, I can't stay up for Dodgers. I want to see how he did last night. He pitched against the Dodgers. Oh, okay, never mind.
He sucked? What was his line?
Well, they got beat 6-0. Davies went 7 innings, though. He went 7 innings, gave up only 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, threw 87 pitches, 58 were strikes. His ERA's under 3.
It's 2.78.
2.78.
And Lowers is 10 points above that at 12.5.
Yeah, so they lost 6-0, but he gave up only 2 of those earned runs, and then the bullpen gave up 4.
So the thing with that Padres trade, and I didn't like it then, and I don't know if Grisham's, you know, mistake in the wild card game was a reason they felt they could move on.
Do you really think so?
I don't think so, but
it's
I know that's one mistake. I know that that's a popular theory.
That'd be like my wife divorcing me because I got hammered 2 weekends ago and slept in the garage. Like, she gets that's not me. It was just one time that it happened.
It was just one time that weekend, and then the next weekend I did it twice.
Yeah,
and
next weekend I just wet the bed, right.
The next Monday. But it was Lauer and Urias came over here for Grisham and Davies, and the centerpiece of this deal on the Brewers part of it was Luis Urias. He's supposed to be the best guy to them in the entire package. You've seen Trent Grisham hit a bunch of home runs for the Padres, and they love him over there.
He's got 4 dongs, I think, already.
And then you at least need Lauer to outperform Davies if you want to win this trade, which he is not. So it doesn't look good. It didn't look good to me then. It doesn't look good to many now. Granted, these guys are under control for a while and let it play out. Lauer's only 25 and all that kind of stuff, but it has not been a good start to his Brewers campaign. And with this season, he's not going to get the, 5-6 more appearances to work it out. He's got to do it now if they want to make the playoffs. Again, they're 16 games into the season, and it's a 60-game season, I guess, for most teams. So they're over 25% of the way through. I don't foresee him pitching or at least starting in his next turn up in the order. It's a 4-game series against the Cubs this weekend. Lauer then would be in line to pitch on Monday. And on Monday, they play the Twins again. So I don't see – I mean, you don't want to have that. The Twins just raked last night. Who had the 2 home runs last night? Buxton?
Buxton did, yeah.
After a night where Rosario had a couple. So it's just – they hit the long ball. That's what they're advertised to do. Mm-hmm. And they did it again in spades last night. So the Brewers lose 12-2 to the Twins and start a 4-game set here with the Cubs tonight.
We're off to their best start since 1970.
It's Brett Anderson versus Yu Darvish, so Brett Anderson's going to get another turn tonight. Woodruff and Chatwood on Friday. Hauser and your boy Alec Mills on Saturday.
My boy.
And Josh Lindblom versus John Lester will be the Sunday matinee. Lester pitching pretty well.
First 5 under in that one.
This season. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, the fan, 414-799-1250. Again, the Brewers falling to the Twins last night, 12-2. And not a good night overall for the crew. Craig Counsell, after the game, talked about Arcia playing center field for the first time.
I mean, he's taken balls out there for the last 3 years. So I mentioned it to him. Eddie mentioned it to him. As a possibility, wasn't necessarily a plan, but as a possibility, yeah.
414-799-1250. Johnny, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I want to send a shout-out to the people that criticized my phone call after the first game. And I said,
shame them.
This team is probably not headed for the World Series. And people were saying I was panicking. Look, this team is a mess, okay? It is a flipping mess. And it doesn't take a baseball genius to figure that out. And, we can have all these Craig Counsell positive spin on a complete nightmare. I mean, he's got to do what he's got to do to keep the clubhouse. I'm with you, Craig. I love you, buddy. My heart's with you because you were dealt this hand by your ownership and the lack of money that was spent on legitimate players. And we could go down the line. But I hate it, I really hope Urias turns out to be something. Because we gave up a guy because he misplayed a ball in a playoff game, in my estimation. That's what this looks like to me. Is he the fall guy because of what happened in Washington? Because Hader was done. He was through. He had pulled us through so many things. At the end of the season, he just ran out of gas, and they were hitting him. And whether he misplayed the ball in right field or he did, you know, he makes the play, they were likely to win that game, okay? And so now we gave up a guy that could easily have been the leadoff guy of our future, right? And how many teams, like, let's say the Cubs, you know, a year ago, didn't have a leadoff guy, and that's what held them back? You know, that's a big deal to find a guy you can put in the front of your lineup. And that was one of the moves I hated over the offseason, and I'm not a baseball expert, but my God, the kid was fast. He gave energy. He looked good. He handled the bat well. And you took him, you gave him away because you wanted to put some pressure on our existing shortstop who's underperformed at the plate, and his swing at times is not much better than mine. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. Why they didn't like him. And I'm not shocked that he's performing well as they've moved on from him.
Yeah, I don't think this was a very good offseason at all. And I think that maybe, John, thanks for the call as always. And you guys, come on, you got to listen to this guy. He knows what he's talking about.
Bruce City T, who doesn't even follow me, says, grading trades 15 games into a pandemic season, the confidence in Horvat's analysis is almost comical. Does he mean you or me?
He could mean me.
Okay. What did I say about any trades? That I don't think Eric Lauer is that I would prefer Trent Grisham?
Well, I said it's too early to grade trades, comma, but right now I don't like it.
You said that, though,
yeah,
not me.
Yeah.
Okay, Brewers fan T333, relax.
No, I understand you're not going to say, well, with the definitive answer, the Padres won that trade. I understand that. I'm just telling you, when it happened, I did not like it. And now that it's 16 games into a pandemic season, I don't like it more than I didn't like it. Maybe in 2 years, everything works out, and I like it.
Yeah, you don't like it. I don't care. Honestly.
But right now, I don't like it. Ron tweeted in. Ron called in. I think it was earlier this week.
Yeah.
He said his theory is that Mark Attanasio's wife
is cheap,
controls
right?
The purse strings. I don't know if she's the culprit, but he also said the Brewers seem to have this tendency to pick up these Mendoza hitters, guys that hit 200, throw them against the wall and see what sticks. That I agree with. This offseason, they signed a bunch of guys, journeyman guys. I mean, if you're happy with an offseason where you trade for Eric Lauer, sign Brett Anderson, Justin Smoke, Logan Morrison, Brock Holt.
I'm counting down the hours until the Suns play. So you got the wrong guy here, bud.
799-1250, 414-799-1250. Kyle Brandt talked a little Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers with us from NFL Network. If you missed that, we'll have that coming up. More on the Brewers throughout the show. And then there's going to be a lot of requirements when you go back to sporting events. Major League Soccer last night, making fans sign a waiver. Is that something you'd be up to? We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
From the 105.7 FM, The Fan Sports Update Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, the Brewers fell to the Twins 12-2 last night. Eric Lauer had a rough one. Lasted only 3 innings, gave up 6 runs in his first start. On Wednesday, he surrendered 7 runs in 3 2/3. Another rough one last night. Twins led 12-0 before the Brewers scored 2 runs in the sixth. The 12 runs, the most given up by Brewers pitchers this season. Of the Twins' 9 starting batters, only one did not have an RBI. Next up for the Brewers, they take a trip to Chicago on the north side. They'll face the Cubs. Yu Darvish gets the ball for Chicago. He's thrown 16 strikeouts in 17 innings. Brett Anderson gets the ball for the Brewers. Bucks wrap up their regular season today against the Grizzlies at 3 p.m. The Grizzlies can earn an invitation for the play-in series in the 9th position, even with a loss if both the Suns and Spurs also lose today. Phoenix plays Dallas at the same time as the Memphis Bucks game, while San Antonio will face Utah early tonight. Milwaukee, meanwhile, they've clinched the number 1 seed in the East. They'll meet Orlando in the first round of the playoffs, which begin on Monday. Bucks beat the Grizzlies 127-114 in Memphis in December. That was their only previous meeting this season. Giannis had 37 points in the win. He'll not play today due to a suspension for a headbutt. The Grizzlies were led in that game by Jaren Jackson Jr., who had 43 against the Bucks. He tore his meniscus in his left knee earlier in the bubble. He's out for the season. Before they take the field for their first practice, the Cowboys add to their defensive line. They agree to a one-year deal with Everson Griffin, former Minnesota Viking. The deal worth just $6 million, $3 million in base salary, $3 million in roster bonuses. The Cowboys have had their eye on Griffin for much of the offseason. They add him to the roster this week. In 10 seasons with the Vikings, he recorded 74.5 sacks, including 8 last season when he was named to the Pro Bowl for the fourth time. Read more online, 1057fmthefan.com. More of the Bart Winkler Morning Show up next as we hear from Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network.
Now, a green and gold training camp update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are back at work getting ready for their first full practice this weekend. Wide receiver Malik Turner is in camp. He grew up in Springfield, Illinois, played for the Fighting Illini under Lovie Smith. Turner got a tryout 2 years ago here in Green Bay before landing a spot with the Seahawks.
You know, it was kind of hard to get my foot in the door. I got hurt in my pro day, couldn't do the combine. I got healthy just in time to do a workout. I ended up getting on the team like 3 days into camp last year. Battled my butt off, just waiting for opportunities and answering the call when my number's called.
The Packers are hoping receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling will take the next step after a disappointing 2019. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
You know, he was battling through a little bit of an ankle. I do think there's some confidence that was probably lost. We need him to be a consistent performer for us because he does have incredible speed and he scares the defense when he's out on the field.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
105.7 FM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. Hey, everywhere you go, Wisconsin's all in, staying 6 feet apart and keeping gatherings small. These are all ways we can help defeat the virus. Be a good neighbor. Show us how you're all in. Use the hashtag WeAreAllIn. Learn more at WeAreAllInWI.com. WeAreAllInWI.com. Bart Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Kyle Brandt, host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football. It airs from about 6 to 9 in the morning, as I always say with that show. DVR it and watch it after our show. Or I believe there's a re-air. It's got a new podcast, too, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. It premieres today where you get your podcast and Aaron Rodgers, the guest. We brought you a sample of it last week where Rodgers went into a little more detail about his reaction when he's watching the draft at home and then they draft not the receiver, a receiver, any receiver, anyone that can catch a football. They draft Jordan Love and the Packers trade up to do it. Kyle Brandt joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Kyle, thanks for a couple minutes. When that happened, you being an NFL media guy, when the Jordan Love pick happened, we get your reaction. We get Rodgers' reaction on your podcast. What was your reaction?
Bart, I was shocked. I thought that the draft was hacked. I think it all went awry. I still am trying to figure it out. And I didn't go to any of the convenient avenues either. I didn't say, well, this is history repeating itself. You know, the Packers took Rodgers when they had Favre. Now they take Love when they have Rodgers. I've said repeatedly, is apples to oranges. It's completely different scenarios. And Rodgers himself went into some of that same stuff when I talked to him about, look, Brett had openly talked about retirement many, many times and had one foot out the door and I don't. He said, meanwhile, I've said that I want to play into my 40s and we were in the title game. So it's not the same thing. I'm still trying to figure out what happened. And when you listen to Rodgers sit there and say, well, we loved this Jefferson kid from LSU and we loved the T. Higgins and we loved Ayuk. He basically had a wish list going into the draft. So as a Rodgers fan, it's almost heartbreaking because he sat there in his house and got the news like the rest of us.
Yeah, I was upset on my couch as a Packer fan and owner, I should say. But I'm upset on my couch and then I'm wondering, immediately I'm thinking, well, what's Rodgers thinking? And then the way that the draft was held, we get to see so much more of everybody virtually. And you see Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst like elated that they, it's like they came into this draft and all they wanted was Jordan Love. And now as these teams start to trickle back into camp, Matt LaFleur in one answer, he'll say like, well, you know, Rodgers is going to be a quarterback for a long time, comma, but in the NFL, you know, anything can happen. So I feel like, I feel like LaFleur wants Jordan Love to start as soon as he's ready. Do you get that sense that that's what Rodgers is feeling too at this point?
The sense you get from Rodgers and talking to him and looking him in his eyes is certainty. There is no doubt. He knows that he will not finish his career as a Packer. And I think he spent the summer coming to terms with that. And I don't think he's mad about it. I think he's accepted it. Maybe a little sad because he wanted to do it and he loves Green Bay, but there is nothing in him where he says, you know, maybe if things work out or Jordan doesn't pan out. No, he says it'll be them getting rid of me and love will start. It's completely made up in his head. It seems crazy to me, but he does not want to stop. If they say it in a year from now, even 2 years from now, we're going to go with Jordan, Rodgers is not leaving. Like, he has a lot of football left to play in his mind. He wants to play well into his 40s. So we're going to see him in another uniform. And I know we saw it with Favre and we've seen it with Brady now. I don't know. It just didn't come out this way. That's very disappointing to me. If I was a Packers fan living in Wisconsin, I'd be beside myself. But Rodgers seems to have accepted it.
10 Questions with Kyle Brandt is the podcast that drops today. Spotify, The Ringer, and we're podcasts where you get your podcasts. Kyle Brandt, of course, with the NFL Network. Good Morning Football. You asked Rodgers in the teaser we saw about putting on a Bears uniform. I'm telling you, I think where Favre wanted to be vindictive to the Packers, so he had to get to Minnesota. I think that Rodgers, I don't think he would want to do that to the fan base. I think he'll play anywhere else. I don't see him in Minnesota, and I don't see him in Chicago.
Well, Favre took the gap year in New York just to set it up. That was worth it for him. That was the long move. Listen, I'll say this. I asked Rodgers how he looks in a Bears uniform. He laughs. But, he doesn't say no. And considering that the Bears pretty much every single year are in the quarterback market, I don't think it's out of the question, but I do agree with you that there is not some burn the world down vindictiveness where he says, like, I need to go into Lambeau and try to torch the place. And yet, listen, Bart, this divorce hasn't happened yet. We just have now included the other woman into the equation, but the divorce has not happened. I don't know how it's going to end. I just know a lot of football to be played. And the second I saw Brett Favre with horns on his helmet, I thought anything was possible. Well, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I did go to a thrift store the other day. I saw a Favre Jets jersey. I bought it. Cost me $20. I don't know if that was a ripoff or a deal, but it cost me $20. But yeah, that gap year, and then he finally did go to Minnesota. We'll see with Rodgers. I'm curious to listen to the full thing because you did talk to him for a couple hours, and Rodgers is a, you know, I think he's a different kind of guy. You'd be amazed at some of the calls we get if Rodgers struggles. It's not always just, oh, Rodgers, you know, he was thrown at receiver's feet or he didn't take the ball over the middle. It's, you know, I don't trust him. He's too California, whatever that means. He drinks scotch and not beer. I think there's still a part of him that people in Wisconsin don't relate to. With you talking to him for a couple hours, what do you get in the sense of what kind of guy he is?
I thought he was an unbelievably cool guy. And I don't know if there's ever been a more relatable moment for Rodgers, Bart, than what happened on draft night. He gets a tough call from work, and he goes immediately and pours himself a really stiff drink. Now, isn't that just all of us? That is the most relatable thing he's done. The second he saw they took a quarterback, he said, I went and got to the tequila. And I think, listen, I can't speak to how Packers fans feel about him, but I know he loves Wisconsin, and he gushed about Wisconsin in this, and he gushed about Green Bay and all the town and the people and the community. And the way this thing went down, it was a Friday night. He sat up in his chair, he had his drink, and he just said, go for it. Talk about anything you want. And a lot of the answers that came back were extremely, not only pro-Packers, but pro-Wisconsin, pro-Green Bay, for all the people at Lambeau. Like, it was really like a love letter to the Packers for him, which was, that's why I use the word sad, because so much of what we're talking about is, you know, a Dear John letter.
10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, talking with Kyle Brandt. He talks with Rodgers. You can check it where you get your podcast, of course. Bart Winkler here on The Fan. Yeah, very relatable. I got a bottle of tequila here in case this interview went bad. I was going to start drinking right after the show.
I know the feeling, Bart. And, you know, it's funny. The thing that Rodgers ran into, all he got caught all that heat about, oh, he can't chug a beer, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's cracking their jokes about him. This man can drink. I'm telling you. Like you said, we talked for almost 2 hours, and it were healthy, hearty pulls of booze and refills throughout.
Oh,
during
okay.
Which time he's high wire acting on really important topics about COVID and social injustice. And I mean, he was going. And so let anyone who thinks that Rodgers cannot imbibe, like, you are sorely mistaken.
So it was like Michael Jordan on The Last Dance. Every shot of him, there was either more or less alcohol in the glass.
Yes.
With COVID, with what's happening, I think the Packers have announced they're not going to have the first two home games with no fans. I think the NFL, I think they figure this out. I think we do see NFL games. I'm not concerned from their end. But to see these games without fans, I think this sport of all sports is going to be the most startling to me.
Yeah, this sport and that beautiful venue in Green Bay. Let me get this straight. If a Packer scores a touchdown, is he going to do a Lambeau leap into empty stands? Because that's odd.
Yeah, and it would probably hurt. Yeah,
there's no cushion in there. So I think it's – Rodgers kept talking about over and over how strange it is, how strange it's going to be, and it just doesn't seem right, whether on the road or certainly at Lambeau. Now we're getting – close to the nitty gritty here. This we will already be in the preseason. I think the games are going to happen, but they're going to happen in silence, and we're going to get them done. But unbelievably surreal, and yet Bart, you and I both can agree, way, way, way better alternative than getting the game scrapped.
How did you deal with all the reaction? You had some reaction last week on a tweet you had about saying there were some in the media that almost rooted against a football season. I root for safety. Mm-hmm. But we're like devastated there's no Big Ten football. Was there like someone specifically you were trying to subtweet there? Or how did you deal with all that reaction?
No, we were wrapping up a 3-hour show, and it was a pretty tense show, which is unlike it for us. And I started looking on Twitter, and all the Miami Marlins news started coming down. And I just felt like the sky was falling. I was kind of depressed. Sports are how I make my living. And I don't know. I just went on Twitter afterwards, and I just saw a bunch of tweets, and I didn't like the tone of them. And you let the Twitter thumbs go, and you say that, I don't know, I get a feeling that some of these people are almost rooting for it. It was more like a lack of optimism. And, look, a lot of people got pissed off about it, a lot of people that I respect, and even more importantly, a lot of people that I like. So, Bart, I'm not someone who incites, who lobs grenades on Twitter and tries to just get a reaction. It was just an emotional tweet at the time. And yet I didn't take it down. I still think there's a big thread of truth in it. I don't think anybody's rooting for the virus, of course, but I think there's a very small, loud minority of people who would like to see the NFL be humbled and are rooting for their opportunity to scream that they told you so, and I hope they don't get it.
I tweeted the other day that college football was probably going to be canceled, and I said, if only there's something we could have done about it, because I've been a proponent of wearing a mask.
Sure, me too.
The first tweet I got back was, "You're rooting for the virus. You should be celebrating this. I can't wait to watch you and the rest of your station go out of business and dumpster dive for food."
That's nice.
So I felt like that was fantastic in that
regard.
It was.
And, Bart, Rodgers has a lot of takes on Twitter, too. And he said, look, it used to be fun. I used to enjoy it. There was a great back and forth. And now it's just someone telling you what a bleeping idiot you are because they disagree with you. Nobody listens. Nobody does that. So, he was on the soapbox about it in the best possible way. And to your point of what you're saying, it's just immediate disdain and hatred. And it's a tough, tough time to be on that website, man.
Well, you got him drinking, so that's always a plus.
Always good.
And I'm glad to hear you didn't delete the tweet. I've deleted far too many tweets over the last 6 months.
Usually at 1 a.m., though.
Yeah, the 1 a.m. Saturday. I got a lot to prove, and I'm going to prove it right now. Tweets is normally when I do that. The podcast, again, 2 hours with Aaron Rodgers. You spent the 10 questions with Kyle Brandt. Kyle, appreciate that. Stay optimistic. We're optimistic. We need Packer football around here, no doubt about it. Good stuff with Rodgers, and we hope to talk soon.
Bart, I grew up spending my summers in Wisconsin. Two family members of mine went to UW Oshkosh. I love Wisconsin. I love being on your show, and thank you for having me.
Where did you stay?
Well, I used to spend summers in Fontana, and then I used to go to Door County when I was much younger. And then, I had two family members who went to Oshkosh, and two of my best friends went to Madison. So I spent so much. I always say I didn't grow up in Wisconsin, but it's still my favorite state.
I grew up in Fond du Lac, right outside of Oshkosh.
Yeah, I know Fond du Lac. I've gone to the Clown Hall of Fame in Baraboo, Wisconsin. That was a banging summer.
Yep, that is one of our state's finest attractions, so I'm glad that you hit that.
Of course.
Appreciate it, and we hope to talk soon again.
Bart, thanks for having me.
Kyle Brandt joining us from the NFL Network on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending, since 1935. So look at that. Kyle Brandt, no stranger to Oshkosh. And we're going to go to Oshkosh right now and talk to Rick. How about that, Rick? What's happening?
Hey, how about that? See?
Look at that.
Okay. What is with Greg Council and Eric Sodar? Does he see himself in that? Is he in love with Eric Sodar? Is he constantly putting them out there so that he can ground out? Or, I mean, Manny Pena and Arcia and players like that at a couple of their games, you should be playing a hot hand.
Yeah, I didn't like that Pena wasn't in the lineup yesterday. Lefty, righty, all that aside.
Why don't they play the hot hand?
You've got Manny Pena who's earning playing time. You know, I want to see him in there. I'm with you.
And Navarez can't even pick up a ball off the ground.
Yeah, he struggled again defensively, sure.
That was a pass ball.
It was.
You know? So, I mean, sooner or later, playing Holt at third, he can't hit the way in a paper bag.
Should they have even played a baseball season this year? I mean, what's the point?
Well,
there's no fans.
Okay, but see, they did expand the playoffs, which I've been asking for.
They did expand the playoffs. You're right about that.
And that's what I've been asking for, and they should do it next year. And they should cut the games down to 154.
Well, okay, I don't know if I want to see the playoffs expanded because, like, the Brewers right now, they're 7-9, and we can agree that they're not that good, right? Brewers aren't that good.
They're terrible. And then you.
But right now, they're tied for a playoff spot because they're second with the Reds.
Yeah, and they're.
Do you think this is a playoff team?
You know, and Brett Anderson on Friday. So, Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta are still in the bullpen.
Still in the bullpen.
No. See, what? I don't get it.
Do you think, Rick, here's the criticism that I'm fighting, because I didn't like the Eric Lauer and Luis Urias trade then, and I don't like it now. Is it too early to judge a trade? Aren't I allowed to say I don't like something?
Yeah, you are, because I didn't like the trade either. You traded an up-and-coming outfielder, Trent Grissom, and there was nothing wrong with Zach Davies because he would give you 6-7 innings.
He gave the Padres 7 innings last night.
Yeah.
Hey, and by the way, I don't know if anyone saw this. Travis Shaw hit 2 bombs last night, too.
Well, see, change the scenery, okay?
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
How does it make you feel that, because I think you're like me in this regard, we spend all day waiting for the Brewer game, and then we watch it, and it's such a letdown.
Hey, I can't watch it. I turned it off. You know, I turned it off.
But you spend all day. It's like this is some of the worst times of our lives, and we have some joy, and we spend all day, and then we turn on this joy, and then right away the Brewers are down 6-0.
Right. Hey, I have one question for you.
Okay.
Okay. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 have put their schedules out.
They have.
Okay. Now, I don't know about the Pac-12 because there's problems in California.
Pac-12's not playing.
Huh?
They're not playing either.
Okay, the Big 10 can play because they had no positive test.
Yeah, a lot of this sucks.
Okay, so why NCAA needs to step in and start governing these conferences and telling them play.
Well, they've never stepped in before. They're only step in if, like, you know, Joel Stave goes to a car dealership and somebody lets him have a free pen afterwards. That's when they step in.
Somebody goes in a strip joint and molests a girl.
Well, Rick, I think it was good talking to you today. I think it's the end of the hour, so.
I think the NCAA has to step in.
I agree with you.
I'm gonna go start crazy.
All right, Rick. Well, we'll look forward to a Brewer game tonight, bud.
Are they playing tonight? So it's Friday.
No, they play tonight on Fox.
Okay, and we got to watch Brett Anderson.
Brett Anderson tonight, yep.
On national TV.
On national television, it will be Brett Anderson.
Goodbye, Greg Council. Goodbye, Greg Council.
Goodbye, Council. Goodbye, Rick.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right. 799. See you, bud.
12:50. More on the Brewers. They lose 12-2 next.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.